Our passage for today is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 18. The Apostle Paul writes, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories," or a better translation there would be, "he who boasts, but he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Here's a quick Bible interpretation lesson for you. If you're reading a paragraph and it has some difficult thoughts to it, it's got some big words, it's got some complicated stuff, and you're not quite sure what that paragraph is talking about, here's what you do. You check to see what the author's conclusion is. If he says at the end of the paragraph something like, "Therefore, this," or if he says, "So, this," or in conclusion, "this," or if he just reaches a climax and says, "this," then you know that even if you didn't get everything in there, the paragraph was about this. So what's today's paragraph about? Well, look at verses 17 and 18. "But he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." So this passage is about boasting and commending oneself. You yourself telling others how good you are, when in fact it's only God who can truly evaluate you, and it's his opinion. His opinion is the only one that really matters. One of my favorite stories of a man who understood about not boasting, that it was wrong to boast, comes from the book of the life of Daniel. I've told this story so many times, but it's one of my favorite stories, so I'll tell it again. It's always good to remember what the Bible has to say. Here's one of my favorite stories. The prophet Daniel is a young man, and he is taken into exile into Babylon. But he is in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar, where he's going to be trained up to be to serve the king in some capacity. And what happens is, the king has a dream. If you know the book of Daniel, you know the story. The king has a dream, and it disturbs him. And he wakes up in the morning, and he calls all his advisors and his wise men in, and he says, "I had this dream, and I want to know what it means." And they say, "Okay, tell us what the dream was, and we will give you the interpretation." And he says, "No, no. Here's the thing. Anyone can give me an interpretation. I mean, I can tell you anything, and anyone can give me an interpretation. How would I know that your interpretation is the correct one? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me what dream I saw, and then interpret it for me. Because then I'll know that you know what you're talking about." And they go, "Well, that's impossible. No one has ever asked anything like that. We can't do that. Only the gods can do those things. We can't do that." And he says, "Why do I have you here? You're my wise men. You're my counselors. You're supposed to be in touch with gods and all these things. If you can't tell me these things, what do I have you here for?" And he says, "I'm going to kill you all if you can't give me an answer, if you can't tell me what dream I saw." So the whole palace is in uproar. And Daniel hears about this, and he calls a guy and he says, "Go tell the king not to kill anyone. I'll pray to my God and see what we can do." And so he prays, and God reveals it to him. And so he goes and he stands before the king. And the king says, "Are you able to tell me the dream and give me its interpretation?" And Daniel, in essence, says, "No." "What?" "But," he says, "there is a God in heaven. And he knows all things, and he has revealed it to me, so I can tell you now. Why do I tell you that story? Daniel wanted to make sure that you don't think he is so much better and so much greater and so much wiser than everyone else, just in and of himself. No, he wasn't. He could have said, "Ah, yes, I am the interpreter of dreams. I am the one in touch with the divine." You know, he could. No, I'm just a man. Any good that I do, any gifts that I have, they've been given to me by God. It's not that I'm so amazing. God knows your dream. God knows the interpretation. And he told me what it is. So if any abilities, any gifts, any good that we can do is because God has enabled us to do it, then how can anyone boast? In Romans 7, the Apostle Paul said, "I know that in my flesh nothing good dwells." That's a big statement. In my flesh there is nothing good. In my sinful, natural state, there's nothing good. And there's certainly nothing that can further the kingdom of God in and of myself. Jesus said, "The flesh profits nothing." And as Martin Luther would say, nothing doesn't mean a little bit of something. Okay? Nothing means nothing. So if I can do no good on my own, if I can't do anything to profit, if I can't do anything to further the kingdom of God on my own, if for some reason I do, that means that it was God, through the Holy Spirit, who worked in me to do that good. Therefore, I cannot boast, because it was God who worked through me to do this. Why are we talking about this? The Apostle Paul is writing this section of 2 Corinthians, chapters 10, on to the end of the book. He is dealing with false teachers who have entered into the church in Corinth. And these men seem to have only cared about themselves. They're trying to promote themselves. They're pretending and boasting to be the greatest thing in the world. And they're basically trying to take over the church. And it seems from this passage that they've entered this church that Paul started, and they're speaking against Paul. And it's almost like they're pretending that this church is there thanks to them. This is our place, not Paul's. It's bad enough to boast about your accomplishments, and though you're inherently so great, it's even worse to boast about someone else's accomplishments and claim that they're your own. They're saying, "No, not Paul. We're the ones who are in charge of what's going on here." And so what's going on in our passage today, Paul is telling the Corinthians that it's a foolish thing to boast in someone else's accomplishments, and it's a foolish thing in general to boast. If anyone wants to boast, let them boast in the Lord. It's not about what's boasting in yourself. Boasting yourself is saying, "Look at me, look how great I am." But he says, if anyone is going to boast, boast in the Lord. It's not about me, it's about saying, "Look at the Lord, look how great he is." Not me, him. So, verse 12, he says, "We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." In the previous paragraph that we saw last week, we saw that they had accused Paul of not being bold, not being powerful and strong like them. And so I think he starts here and he says, "Oh yes, I don't dare compare myself with these people. I can't do what they do." This whole section, these four chapters, he's just being ironic all the time. But he says, yes, that's right. I don't dare compare myself to these people. I can't do what they do. Of course, he's being ironic, because what they're doing is not wise. What are they doing? They are pretending to be great by comparing themselves to others. Look at this person. See how much better I am? Therefore, I'm pretty great. Let me tell you why that's foolish. You can always find someone who's worse than you and compare yourself to them and feel real good about yourself. But just because you're better than someone else doesn't mean that you're great. It just means you're not as bad as you could be. I like watching basketball. And you can be a really bad basketball team and still win a few games as long as you play against a team that's worse than you. Okay. That doesn't mean that you're a good team. It just means that you're not as bad as you could be. Okay? One of my favorite parables of Jesus is when the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We have a Pharisee and a tax collector who go to the temple to pray. And what does the Pharisee pray? He says, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." What's he doing? He's comparing himself with other people. He's not comparing himself with the best people. He's comparing himself with the worst people and saying, "I'm pretty good because I'm not as bad as these. I'm not an adulterer. So look how good I am." He's comparing himself to others. But here's the thing. God is not going to judge you based upon what others are doing. God is not going to judge you based upon the standards of society that change all the time. God is going to judge you based upon His Word. God is going to judge you based upon what He has said. He has said this. Are you doing what He said? That's it. He's not going to judge you upon, well, that guy did that, so you're better than him. That's not the standard. So Paul is saying these false teachers here are just, he says they're not wise. What they're doing is not wise by comparing themselves with others and therefore boasting that they're any better. Verse 13, he says, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us." The sphere which especially includes you. "For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors." That's the key to understand what he's talking about here. That last phrase. He's like, I'm not boasting in other men's labors, like the false teachers are doing who are trying to take over the church that Paul started. Okay? These people were boasting as though the church was theirs. And he says, if I'm going to boast, Paul says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast within the limits that God has appointed me. Okay? If I'm going to boast of having accomplished something, it's going to be within what God told me to do. God told me to do this. God told me to go to Corinth. He told me to preach there. He told me to start a church there. Okay? And I did that. The false teachers didn't do anything. That came in way after, years later. He says, if I'm going to boast, at least I'll boast for something that God told me to do. I did it, and God then blessed the work. Okay? Of course, I mentioned this last week. This whole section here seems like is making Paul very uncomfortable because he is dealing with people who are boasting about how great they are and saying that they're the real apostles. They're the real people of God, not Paul. And so Paul has to say, no, they're wrong. I'm the one who's the real apostle. And so how can he present his case without somehow doing what he hates, which is boasting? And so there's this constant struggle within these chapters where he's like, if I'm going to boast, if I were to boast, or he's saying, please forgive me for saying this. I'm going to sound foolish for saying this, but please bear with me. You know, and he's constantly saying these things over these chapters. In Romans 15, here's Paul's position, okay, about boasting. Here's Paul's position. In Romans 15, he's talking about boasting in his ministry, and this is what he says. I boast in Christ Jesus in the things pertaining to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. He says, I'm only going to boast about those things that Christ has accomplished through me. If you ever hear me praising my ministry, I'm basically saying, look what Christ has done who called me to do this. I'm not doing it with my own strength. It's Christ who's doing it through me. That's Paul's goal when it comes to boasting. So Paul is saying in these verses, because they get a bit complicated, and I was trying to read it in the Greek and it gets even more complicated because he's breaking up sentences. And here's the point of these verses, saying God has appointed me. God has given me, when he speaks of a sphere that God has appointed him. It's talking about the ministry that God has given him. It's not talking geographically that he told him to go there or there. He's saying, God gave me a job to do, okay? And I did that, okay? And my job, the work that God gave me, includes you, Corinthians. I came to you. I preached the gospel to you. I started the church there, okay? So any boasting that I could do would be based on what God gave me to do. Unlike those who are boasting, these false teachers, who are trying to boast in other men's labors. If I were to boast, I'm boasting about something that God gave me to do. God told me to do this, and I was able to do it through his power. These people just showed up and tried to take over, and they're boasting in my labor, basically. Okay? That's what he's trying to talk about here. And look, Paul doesn't have a problem with people coming in who are going to preach after he has left. That is perfectly normal. Paul went to all kinds of places, and he started churches, and then he left. And someone has to preach afterwards. Someone has to teach afterwards. He has no problem with this. He talked about this in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians he said, I am the master builder who came and laid the foundation being Christ. And after I leave, others come and build upon that. That's normal. That's how it's supposed to be. But his problem is when people come in and try and dig up the foundation that he laid and try and teach something else. You can't do that. Now you're messing with everything. That's what these people are doing. And that's why he's so upset in these chapters. So, speaking of his ministry among the Corinthians, because he says, we came to you and preached the gospel to you. In the middle of verse 15, well, after having said, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in other men's labors, he says, but having hope, so this is his hope, that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, still talking about his ministry, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. And again, not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Okay? In Romans 15, Paul is talking about his missionary goals, what his goal was as a missionary, and he says, I've made it my aim to go and preach where Christ is not named. Okay? He says, I want to go places where people have never heard of Christ. And preach the gospel there. That was his goal. And he also tells them in when he writes Romans, he's writing from Greece. And he says, so he's never been west in that direction. And so he says, my hope is to leave Greece at some point and come and preach in Rome. And then after that, go to Spain. And that's what he's talking about here. He says in verse 16, my goal is to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Okay? At the end of verse 15, he says, our hope is what? That your faith is increased, and we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. So he's basically saying, here's what I want. Here's my goal. Here's my hope. My hope is for you, Corinthians, to increase in your faith. I want you to be a solid church. I don't want you to be following around all these false... Someone comes in, gives you a bunch of rubbish, and you believe him. I want you to be solid. I want you to increase in your faith. And so once that has happened, then I can do my work and you can even help me with my work. He says, you can help me. You can increase my ministry by helping me as I go to preach in other regions. If they're solid, then they can help send them off there. How did Paul go to Corinth? Because the churches in Macedonia were helping him. Okay? He needs help to go on the missionary field. Right? This is what he's asking for. He's like, this is what I want to do. I want you to be solid, and then I can move on. And you can even help me on that. And I was like, yes, these are the two goals that every Christian should have. Every Christian, you don't have to be a missionary, okay? Every Christian should have this goal. To help other believers grow up, become mature, to help other believers be edified, that's number one. And then reach unbelievers. That's what Paul wants to do. He wants the believers in Corinth to grow up, and then all together help reach other believers, other unbelievers in other regions. That's his goal. Unlike the false teachers, all they care about is taking over Corinth, stealing Paul's sheep, and then being the head of the church there, so they can be the leaders. That's not Paul's goal. So in verse 17, again, having spoken of not boasting in another man's sphere of accomplishment, he says, "But he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." In verse 17, he's quoting the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah it says, "Let not the wise boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty boast in his might. Let not the rich boast in his riches." And these false teachers were doing just that. We've seen that earlier in the chapter. They were boasting about being wise and mighty and rich and better than everyone else. But Paul says, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. What I do, he said in Romans 15, I can only boast about those things that Christ has accomplished through me. That's boasting in the Lord. Not saying, look how great I am, but look at how great my God is and what he has accomplished through me. There's no point in commending yourself. You may impress other people, but you don't impress God. Look, let me... Here's the point of this. And I'll close. In the end, when it's all said and done, every single one of us is going to stand before God naked. And it doesn't matter what your friends thought about you. It doesn't matter what your parents thought about you. It doesn't matter what your children thought about you. It doesn't matter what your pastor thought about you. It doesn't matter what your church thought about you. It doesn't matter what the world thought about you. The only thing that matters is what God thinks. In the end, his opinion is the only one that matters. His approval is the only one that matters. So we need to learn the Word of God, know the Word of God, keep it in our heart, know what God said, so we're not just, so our standard is not all over the place, so we know what God wants, keep it in our hearts and in our minds, so that we may live holy lives that are pleasing to Him. And always remember that we are sinners saved by grace, by the grace of God, not by works. Why? So that no one can boast. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.